This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We have some appointments to talk about because, boy, it's getting weird. And I've got the greatest person to talk with about this very topic today. We're going to go through a number of the appointments, probably spend a goodly amount of time on Matt Gaetz and Mr. Hegseth because they're at the top of the pinnacle of weird right now. And my next guest, special guest co-host on Thursdays, you know him well. His name's Tom Paulswitz, a two-time congressional candidate, a Navy veteran, and of course, a small business owner. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Tom. It's great to see you.
Good to be here. I think a few things happened in the last week again. It's just amazing how much the world changes in a single week.
Which seems like the blink of an eye, does it not?
Yes.
Let's start in. Over the last 24 hours and certainly 48 hours, I think the Trump appointments are starting to roll in. And it was interesting to me because I kept hearing folks saying, oh, well, it doesn't look so bad after he nominated Marco Rubio to be the Secretary of State. And I kept thinking, well, why are you even saying that out loud? He's barely even gotten started yet. I'm sure it's about to get very weird. And indeed, it did. Perhaps of the greatest concern to date, I think, is when you start looking at the military intelligence complex, right? And then the Attorney General's office.
Right.
So we've got Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. We've got Pete Hegseth to be Secretary of Defense. Kristi Noem, who knows nothing about Homeland Security, is is going to be the Homeland Security cabinet member. And then Tulsi Gabbard, again, for the National Intelligence Apparatus. I mean, it's a little mind-blowing. What have your reactions been as some of these more eyebrow-raising appointments have rolled in, Tom?
Yeah, I'll go back to Marco Rubio. I mean, wasn't his nickname Little Marco?
Oh, yeah. We might even have some sound about Marco Rubio. Let me see. Listen, this might be back in the day. This is going to be cut nine, Cardi. Back in the day when Little Marco was running for president. Let's see what he had to say then about the guy that just appointed him Secretary of State.
The stakes are giving control of the party of Lincoln and Reagan, of the conservative movement, and ultimately of the United States over to a con artist. That will not happen. I make this promise to you today. I will do whatever it takes. I will campaign as long as it takes. I will stay in this race as long as it takes. Donald Trump,
that is
a con artist, will never get control of this party.
Well, Maggie, the thing I think about is, you know, Donald Trump not only likes loyalty, he likes a convert.
Yes.
He likes someone who's come out against him and now kisses his ring. And it's amazing to watch him in these appointments because you've rattled off quite a few who were against him and now completely for him.
Well, and it's almost the entirety of the Republican establishment, from Mitch McConnell to Lindsey Graham. I mean, all of them.
Yes.
And one of the things that I've been reflecting upon is that it seems to me that, you know, the Liz Cheneys and Dick Cheneys and John Kellys and John Boltons and Mark Espers of the world, hey, maybe you should have been a little clearer, a little louder, much, much sooner.
Yes. And, you know, but even Mitch McConnell, I don't think he ever really came around, which is why he's on his way out. He realized, okay, I really have to fundamentally kiss the ring or move on. You know, back to Marco Rubio for a minute. You know, I look at and I see a person who, at least in my mind, really doesn't have the experience you would be looking for. So these appointments aren't really based on experience. And my question is, you know, because Trump ran this campaign on changing things, and he kept coming back to, look, the experts don't know anything. So he's going to put people in who don't really know anything about what they're going to be doing next. And I think that's a fundamental risk, especially for Secretary of State, especially the things that are happening in the world.
Yeah, it's a dangerous time.
I look at what, you know, Joe Biden and his administration is doing right now. This is a dangerous time. There's so many things going through back channels and negotiations. And to say that this is going to be like a you know, easy thing to fix. Oh, my goodness. Scary.
And I mean, to be, I don't know, fair isn't quite the right word. But Marco Rubio at least has sat on like the Senate Intelligence Committee, and he's been in secured compartmental information facilities, and he's received confidential briefings, and he's been around. But even Marco Rubio, to the extent that he has been exposed to intelligence matters and foreign policy matters, has never been point on that. And as anybody who has moved from being staff to leading an organization or leading a department or being responsible in that different way, having some bona fides that show that you are ready for this particularly dangerous moment is lacking, even with Senator Rubio, which, again, a lot of the pundits said, oh, look, that's almost normal. And yeah, except it's not when you put his resume up against the resumes of prior appointees to the Secretary of Defense.
And you combine that with, you know, Trump doesn't have great relationships around the world with our allies. And then you're putting somebody into that seat who, I, at least personally for me, I don't know what he actually has, but it doesn't seem like he has great trusting relationships with our allies also. And how is this going to work from a negotiation and from a leadership standpoint if those things aren't aligned?
Yeah, it's 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're going to dig into these. I heard about the Gates appointment while I was on the air yesterday, Tom, and it was kind of, you know, live radio mind getting blown type of thing. And I thought one of our callers yesterday had one of the best takes on, because there's lots of guessing going on about why would Donald Trump pick this guy who immediately got a ton of backlash from Republicans like Chuck Grassley, I mean, from Iowa, so exasperated by Gates' questions that he stopped talking to reporters. Stopped talking to reporters and stood there like with a stone face for 30 seconds. Rep Duarte from California, Matt Gates is under an ethics investigation and would be a compromised AG. There are better choices. We've got some sound. Let's see, Cardi. This is GOP Congressman Gonzalez talking about Matt Gaetz. This is going to be cut 13B, Cardi. Give me a little thumbs up when you're ready. 13B. Let's take a listen. This is pretty intense.
He will survive. Look, the House is a rough and rowdy place, but Mike Johnson is going to be just fine. I served 20 years in the military. It's my absolute honor to be in Congress. But I served with some real scumbags. Look, Matt Gaetz, he paid minors to have sex with him at drug parties. Bob Good endorsed my opponent, a known neo-Nazi. These people used to walk around with white hoods at night. Now they're walking around with white hoods in the daytime.
Let's take Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski. This is cut 13A right there. It's the one on the left. There you go. This was brief and to the point.
I don't think it's a serious nomination for the attorney general. We need to have a serious attorney general, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to consider somebody that is serious. This one was not on my bingo card.
He was on no one's bingo card, apparently, except for Donald Trump. Let's keep rolling. And maybe it's because Gates shopped around for a pardon at the tail end of the Trump administration because he knew he was in trouble for the very thing that Representative Gonzalez was talking about. Let's take cut 13C.
Was Representative Gates requesting a pardon?
I believe so. The general tone was, we may get prosecuted because we were defensive of, you know, the president's positions on these things.
How do you know that Congressman Gates asked for a pardon?
He told me.
Tell us about that.
He told me he'd asked Meadows for a pardon.
Mr. Gates was personally pushing for a pardon, and he was doing so since early December.
And last but not least, we won't take the entirety of this cut, but we're going to take the beginning fat of it. This is John Bolton. On CNN. Yeah. Here's John.
On Verizon.
Joining me now is Ambassador John Bolton, former national security advisor to Donald Trump in his first term. He's also served as U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Ambassador Bolton, thank you so much for being here on a big day.
It is a big day.
It's a big day.
Not a good day, but a big day.
It's a big day. Let me get your reaction to this latest breaking news, the fact that President-elect Trump intends to nominate Matt Gates to run the Department of Justice. What was your immediate reaction when you heard that?
Well, it must be the worst nomination for a cabinet position in American history. I think this is something that falls well outside the scope of deference that should be given to a president in nominating members of his senior team. Gates is not only totally incompetent for this job, he doesn't have the character. He is a person of moral turpitude. And notwithstanding how difficult it may be politically, this is a nomination the Republican Party should oppose.
You're saying he's the worst. That's a pretty strong language, the worst ever. Do you think the Republican Party will oppose him, though, even those who are saying that they're shocked today?
Well, and then it gets into prognostication. But yeah, the worst ever. We're going to take care of a little bit of business. Tom and I, of course, want to hear from you all. So 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Phone and text lines are open. We're going to dig in when we get back. I've got Tom Paulswitz with me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, y'all.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Different time then, wasn't it? Hope and change, now anger, fear, and hate. It seems that American politics has changed a wee bit in the last 15 years. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My special guest host this hour with me is Tom Paulswitz. Always great to have you. We had CJ on the phone. I was going to take his call. I was so excited to speak with him. So, CJ, if you're out there, we were getting to you. We got to get set up. We got to get the show going, man. Patience, my friend.
Come on back, CJ.
It is rewarded. We've been talking about the appointments to date. We're going to get into more of the Matt Gates of it all, I guess. Some funny texters. Michaela, always great to hear from you. What in the Florida man is happening to our government? Chris from Janesville. I thought I was saddened on the 6th, but after Dom's boat yesterday, I watched Idiocracy, the movie, which is an oldie but a goodie. I see no difference at this point. Thanks to you folks are speaking about what's actually going on. Len from Madison. Whenever I hear Rump referred to as president-elect, I immediately think that it should be change to president defect. I like that one, Len. I'll be using that. Matt from Middleton, do you think it's necessary for the Trump administration to be a disaster in order for the country to get past him or the MAGA cult? It's a great question. And Tom, I'd like you to address that. Here's just some of my thoughts as I watched what are the most ridiculous of the appointments come in. Like, we knew Stephen Miller was going to be working in the Oval somewhere or adjacent, right? We knew that he was going to put Tom Homan back in charge of immigration enforcement. We knew Tulsi Gabbard would be in the mix somewhere, right? I didn't think he would go so far as to pick some of these clear know-nothings, but it's obvious that again, the loyalty is the operative thing, right? Like, you're going to do what I say when I say it, and you won't ask me about it. The most interesting take I heard yesterday, right before we got off the air, was from a caller who said, I think he picked Matt Gaetz basically as a litmus test for Senate Republicans. Like, you are going to fall in line, and you're going to ram this nomination through. I also think I layered on that as I noodled it over last night that perhaps in response to the Senate selecting Senator Thune to lead them, who was not the MAGA preferred candidate, that was Senator Rick Scott from Florida, mm-hmm. that Trump was like, oh, you're going to do me like that since you got a secret ballot and I don't know who voted for whom? All right. Give me some Matt Gaetz as attorney general. What have your hypotheses of explanation been, Tom, on the Matt Gaetz nomination? And really, the bigger question, which is how bad does Trump and the MAGA cult have to move on?
Yeah, and I think there's two things happening. One is areas where he thinks he's going to need somebody who knows how to get things done.
Yes.
Like, there's an active agenda that he wants to have pursued.
Yes.
He's appointing people that he thinks can get things done. But then somebody like Matt Gaetz, he's looking at going, I just want him to clean house and I want him to do my bidding, right? So there's not an agenda on the DOJ side. There's not anything that says here's exactly what he wants to accomplish. He just wants to make sure that nobody can come after him while he's doing whatever it is he's doing. So I'm trying to parse these into two different areas.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I'm relying on the fact that he's ADHD and incompetent at the same time because he can't seem to keep a single thought in his head and therefore he can't seem to stay focused on anything he's working on. I mean, how many infrastructure weeks were there in his last administration? You know, there was probably at least 50.
Yeah.
And nothing ever happened. So there's that component of it. What's scary to me is he's appointing some people who are going to be off and running and don't need him to do anything.
Yeah.
And that would be the, you know, Homeland Security. That would be a whole bunch of different areas where you look at and go, they've got an agenda. They've told everybody their agenda. They're going to follow through on their agenda. And there's no checking in. There's nothing Trump has to do. Trump just, you know, and the thing I've been contemplating is do we have to listen to him every day again? And, you know, I can't do
I'm
it.
I'm choosing like, I not to. Right, right. Well, this brings up the big meta question to me, Tom. Mm-hmm. And these appointments are a really good example of the bigger picture question, which has been on my mind predominantly over the last week. And that is the idea of owning the libs, right, is this sort of cri de guerre that you hear from the right. And the libs, to the extent that are liberals and conservatives anymore, and I'm not sure there are, there's just like MAGA and then everybody else.
Right.
I think it's about, again, flooding the zone with so much crud that people don't know how, like, what do I pay attention to? Like, what's really going to have impact? What's just smokescreen? And so as I've been thinking about this and I've been talking about, here are the five reasons that Donald Trump won the election, right? The existential angst, which is real because the middle class has gotten screwed by Republican policies in tax and wage and labor and all that. The Democrats frankly, did not stand up against with enough fervor over the last 50 years, coupled with credible, authentic messenger, coupled with all of the isms in the world so that you can scapegoat people who have never really had their hands on the reins of power ever, coupled with the information sewer led by Elon Musk, the bro of bros, and then finally the idea of false scarcity, right? And then metastasized selfishness and false scarcity, and you add all that up and you get a Donald Trump. I mean, you just do. Yes. And so when we think about this in the big picture, to me, the question becomes, how do we decide where to resist, right? How do we decide where it is most crucial for people who care about government, fairness, morality, doing the right thing? Where do we figure out this is the hill to die on? Because you can't die on all the hills every day. Our heads will explode, or as I like to say, my hair will light on fire. And that is, how do we decide? Because we can't pay attention to all of it. Like, are Democrats really going to oppose every single one of his nominations? Probably not. Who's deciding where we make the stand? And is it coming from the people, which is where it should? Or is it going to come from electeds? How are they deciding? All of those kinds of questions. Tom, we're going to start right there when we come back with you and all of our callers. I'm going to talk a little less. You're going to talk a little more. I'm Maggie Dawn, special guest host Tom Paulswitz. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Your calls, texts, and Tom's thoughts on how do we decide where to resist and fight when we come back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where you can count on real news and great conversation every day. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, and I've got a special guest co-host with me this hour. His name's Tom Paulswitz. He ran for Congress twice, very valiantly, I might add, in the Wisconsin 5th Congressional District. He's a Navy veteran and a small business owner. We're talking about the appointments, but we're talking about it in a bigger context, right? Because, of course, people are freaking out about Tulsi Gabbard as the Director of National Intelligence. They're freaking out about Matt Gaetz as Attorney General. They're freaking out about Pete Hegseth. I'm sorry, it makes me laugh when I say it, as the Secretary of Defense. And my suggestion to all of us is that looking at the appointments, it's like a microcosm for what we can expect to come in a Trump presidency. It can be overwhelming in volume, right? It can be overwhelming in its cravenness. It can be overwhelming to think of potential harms, right? So the question becomes, where do you plant your flag? We can't react to every single thing that Donald Trump or folks that are going to work in his administration are going to do or say on a daily basis. We will get whiplash so bad we won't know which way is up. So how do we filter? How do we decide what's really important, where to take a stand? Again, which hills to actually die on and to make a point about it. We're going to go to the phones. But Tom, I just kind of wanted to get your sense as we enter into this very new normal where chaos will be king, right? And norms are totally irrelevant.
Yes. And I think the biggest thing is try to cut through the clutter and understand mm-hmm. why things are happening in a certain way. I mean, obviously Donald Trump is going to run the playbook that he told everybody he was going to run. So I think it's just important to understand that things are going to be happening. And where does the resistance need to come from? One of the articles I read yesterday was just about, Democratic governors and attorneys general getting together and really saying, where are we going to fight back? Where are we going to push back? What court systems are we going to use? And where does that need to come from in order to delay what could happen? But also, I think it's important for people to understand, who do you need to protect? Who are they vulnerable that are going to get caught up into this? Yeah. You know, because some people are going to be okay through it, probably myself included from a privilege standpoint, but there are a whole bunch of people that aren't going to be. And I think it's good to be checking in with people to find out where they're at, not only economically, but, physically and emotionally, in order to understand who do you need to help and who needs your help. But I think also it's understanding that you got to let go of some of this stuff, which is really hard to do, and focus on what's the meaning behind the meaning.
Well, and that to me, as an economist, I always try to look for who also is benefiting, right? Like, where do the incentives lie? We know Donald Yes. Trump benefits, right? Because that Yes. is how he operates. It's like pure, unadulterated self-interest dressed up like some other things. But it is, aside from fame and some power, what else is operating, right? Because it's not just the fame and the power. That is what's motivating individual actors. But yes. what is the system producing, right? And one of the things that I tend to focus on and have been focusing on after the election is the simple fact that since the 60s, our tax code has become far less progressive, right? It is become completely rejiggered such that rich people just pay less than they ever have done on a proportional basis compared to working people.
Yes. In addition to that, Maggie, not only do they pay less, there's less compliance to make them pay their fair share to begin with, right? So there's actually two things happening.
Yes.
And the compliance part is huge.
Of course it is.
It's been estimated at hundreds of millions of dollars. A year, and you look at that and go, that's money that we're not paying, that somebody else has to pay, and it's just adding on to the debt.
Yes. And here's the thing. Someone else is paying for a lot of stuff, and it's the middle class and the working poor. Yes. Like, that's who's paying for things. And I'll also just say this. There is a government efficiency office, and it ain't going to be the one that's run by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. It's called the Government Accountability Office, and their ROI for every dollar that's spent by that, it's basically an audit department, if I'm being
right.
like unsexy about the whole thing. Their ROI for every dollar that is budgeted into that, the Government Accountability Office,
yes.
the return is like 331. So we already have the efficiency department. It needn't yes. be Elon Musk and Vivek.
We should use it, though. We yes. should give them the money they need to go out and do
it. It's the same with the IRS. Right. Like, quit auditing the earned income tax credit that operates to help poor people. Worry about the billionaires that are dodging their fair share. Let's go to the phones, because right. we've got two of my most favorite conservatives on the line, but CJ's been very patient. CJ, what would you like to say this afternoon? Oh, just one thing before we get going, CJ. Remember, three rules. Don't deflect. Please don't discriminate. And don't spread misinformation or disinformation, the three Ds. So with that, sir, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Maggie, but I wish you'd hold all the callers to that standard. As I listen to you and your guests and hear the panic in your voice, realize that there's two records to these administrations. And the present administration, the incumbents, watched the world become on fire after Afghanistan, and the economy turned a you know what, after they spent beyond their means, like Larry Summers warned the current administration, that they're going to cause inflation that goes up over 22%.
But that didn't happen, CJ. Inflation topped out at 9.1 or
8.9. So, CJ, you do know, CJ, that we have by far the best economy in the world coming out of the pandemic. You do know that, right? Well, no, it's not a laughing matter. You can look it up.
People that voted, right?
Well, but that's not what we're talking about, CJ. We're talking about You're talking about the economy's on fire. I'm saying that our economy, the U.S. economy, is by far the best economy in the world right now. Every other country, every other developed country is dealing with inflation. Every other country is lagging behind in GDP growth. You can look that up. That's not that hard to find.
Well, you and your party keep preaching that because you.
It's not a party. It's an economic fact.
So CJ,
it has nothing to do with parties.
If I can, here's what I'd like to ask you. Forget about the macroeconomics of it all for a moment. Because what I think the core of what you and I agree about is that the middle class and working people in this country feel like they're getting screwed. And I have said repeatedly since the election that their feeling that they're getting screwed, that they're not enjoying the riches, is absolutely right. And the predominant driver of that disaffection, of that anger, of that economic fear is the tax code. Do you agree, CJ, that two things should happen? We should be taxing billionaires more, at least. And we can argue about what that more might be. And then secondly, that we should adopt a constitutional amendment that declares that money is not speech and corporations are not people. Because I think that's why people are ticked off.
Well, you know, I watched your party proudly raise.
First of all, I'm just going to ask you to do this for me, CJ. I do not believe that party designations are helpful. So if we can, if you can just, do you agree generally? I mean,
oh,
I'm just
God.
Trying to have a conversation with you, CJ. And
no,
I asked you a question. CJ, I asked you a question, two basic things, which the vast majority of Americans agree with. Billionaires should pay more than they are. The largest, most consistently profitable corporations should pay more than they are. And we should take money out of politics. And I'm asking you what your thoughts are, sir, on those topics, on taxes and on money and politics.
And CJ, both parties agree to that. Both parties say that that's what they want.
Your party wanted to raise, your candidate wanted to raise corporate taxes to 27%.
Correct. Because
yes. Because it's going to kill jobs.
That's not true, CJ.
CJ, we have the lowest unemployment of any economically developed country on the planet right now.
And one could argue cause and effect, but corporations, CJ, have done just fine. Corporations making a ton of money, you're laughing. They haven't done just fine. Corporate profits are up more during the Biden administration than they were in the Trump administration, sir.
Stock market is at record highs right now, CJ.
Well, you're going to drive them. You're going to drive them overseas, just like your candidate promised.
That's just, first of all, she.
I don't know where we're going with this. CJ, do you want to have a conversation or do you just want to do talking points?
I think he just wants to do talking points. So let's move on.
We're
shall
open
we?
To a conversation, CJ. We're ready for you. Have a conversation. But if you want to do talking points, we're not going anywhere.
Can't do it. Gary from Sussex, you got the mic, my friend. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Well, I want to know, you said your two favorite conservatives. Who is number one and who's number two?
I said that?
Yeah, you said my two favorite conservatives are on line next.
Oh, you mean between you and CJ, who's number one and number
Gary.
Two? You, Gary, are number one. You're my favorite conservative. That we can actually have a discussion.
We didn't get anywhere with CJ.
No,
we didn't have a discussion.
CJ,
hopefully this will be a great discussion.
Yes, go ahead, my friend.
For the record, I like CJ.
I do, too. I like him as a person. I get frustrated with him as a caller, but go ahead,
It'll be
Gary.
Great to have a conversation, though.
Right.
All right. Now you guys are talking about the nominations for secretaries, and you're talking about the guys from Pete Hegseth from Fox.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I watched this guy for years. I think he's really good. He is young. He's a major in the Army, and I think he's going to be great. Now, as far as Matt is concerned for Attorney General, the thing is, if he's really guilty of this stuff, don't you think he would have told Donald Trump quietly off to the side, hey, listen, I don't want to ruffle any feathers right here. I don't think this would be good because I don't want them to start digging into my past again. it's all kind of gone away for the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things, Gary, if I can jump in. I actually think Donald Trump may have been trying to bail Matt Gaetz out. He gives him the appointment. Gaetz resigns from Congress, by the way, days after being reelected. And he did that maybe to kill the House Ethics Committee's investigatory report from coming out. Now, the trick is, like, once you're out of Congress, the investigation has to happen. It has to stop. But the investigation has already happened here. They're just literally moving the commas around in the report. So that is a bipartisan committee. They have to vote about whether to issue that report. I think Matt Gaetz was just trying to dodge a bullet, and DJT helped him out.
The report was supposed to come out tomorrow.
Right.
The report was scheduled to come out tomorrow.
Right.
And the actual Senate is now requesting to see if they can get a copy of that report.
Gary, hang on, because here's what's interesting about this. Matt Gaetz was obviously investigated for basically like human trafficking. And what I understand, and most of the coverage, and listen, he wasn't charged. That's the facts.
That's right.
But the reason they think the reason, or at least what I've heard, and having worked as a lawyer for a long time, the major thing that you look at in criminal prosecutions is the credibility of the witnesses against the defendant. And the two major witnesses in Matt Gaetz's cases were themselves not very credible. And one was convicted of a lot of various crimes. And so, again, the Ethics Committee report would be really important for the American public to see, wouldn't it? To like, hey, there wasn't a criminal prosecution, but did this guy, did this elected official not only show nudie pictures on the House of the floor, on the floor of the House of Representatives, but did he actually do some things that draw his ethics into question? Don't you want those answers, Gary?
Yeah, well, sure. But the thing is,
okay,
isn't it kind of weird? Wait, isn't it kind of weird? All this stuff is just coming up right after they.
Oh, this investigation's been going on for 2 years.
Yeah, hang on, Gary. Right, just hang on, sir. I'm sorry to cut you off. We got to take care of business. I'm a slave to the clock here, but we'll come back with Gary, Karina, everybody else on the lines. Your texts and phone calls welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn, special guest co-host Tom Pauzowitz, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. More coming up next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Dear Adonis, I'm sorry that man is your father. Let me be honest. It takes a man to be a man. Your dad is not responsive.
It takes a man to be a man. It also takes a man to debate Maggie Dawn. You are welcome to do so long as you do not deflect, you do not disinform, and you do not discriminate. Those are the three rules of debate on The Maggie Dawn Show, joined today by my special guest co-host, Tom Pauzowitz. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What I want all of us to be thinking about, who care about the rule of law, who care about decency, who care about people who think and believe differently than we do, right? Who still want their rights respected, even though they think and believe and maybe live differently than we do. What I want us to be thinking about as the firestorm begins is we cannot freak out about everything. So where and when, what are the factors that help us to decide, yep, this is where I'm going to put my foot down. This is where I need my elected officials to fight back, right? And we can talk about the hows, but I think some discernment about what is motivating, and that has to be tied to whether it's the Democratic Party, if these labels mean anything anymore, which I just don't think they do. But if you're a candidate or an elected official, how do we break through? How do we change the five things that led to Donald Trump getting elected? Because, again, in my opinion, the real angst that people felt, that was good faith and real, and it was a correct response to a system of laws and tax policy that have basically led to the middle class getting screwed over the last 50 years. And Democrats didn't do enough to fight back. They are responsible, too. And then, you know, messaging, blah, 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 blah. But messaging wouldn't have mattered if we didn't have the five factors, which had nothing really to do with how a particular campaign this time around was run or not run. Let's go back to the phones. Gary, we just wanted to give you a chance to finish up some of our thinking. And we, you know, we reached a place of agreement there for a moment, wait, Gary.
If I could, yes, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. A couple things, the advice that I'm only giving you my opinion. Whenever I call up you guys, I'm only giving my opinion. My opinion is this. You can never, and I've said this many times, you can't win an election by hating the other guy so bad. You have to go out there and say, this is what I'm going to do for you. When you call Trump, and I said this to you probably before, when you call Trump Hitler and a Nazi.
I didn't call him that. He behaved like that, okay? And here's the thing, Gary, and here's where we're probably going to have to leave it here. Donald Trump ran a campaign on hate every day. He said, blame these people over here who have never truly had the reins of power or economic power in this country. And he said, blame these people. That was a message of hate, wasn't it?
Ooh, $123 million was spent on anti-trans ads alone.
Yeah.
Who's the party of hate?
Gary, because you got the beeping in the background, I got to let you go, brother. Thanks so much for calling. Karina,
thanks, Gary.
Karina from Milwaukee, you've been patient. Thank you, my friend.
Hi. You know, it's honestly very disappointing that at 2024, somebody think that they can be original in what they think they're going to do with the government, because you can go back in history. October Revolution, we had all the morons, comrades, going for Department of Education and military and everything. They become rigid and ridiculous, and it didn't go anywhere good. Take a French Revolution, didn't go anywhere good. You do not put imbeciles into the government. You cannot say that, oh, those people, go-getters, they're going to be a great military or defense or education or healthcare.
Yeah, those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Dick from Madison, you're up next on the Maggie Don Show.
Well, real quickly with Matt Gaetz, I guess if there was nothing there, why would you ask for a pardon? But, you know, that's another story. And then his running mate down there that he hung with, admittedly that he did, I believe is still in prison.
Yes.
And the reason they couldn't use him in court is, well, I loved the way Glenn Kirshner described it a few years ago. He said he was so tainted that you can't polish a turd to use in court. But to corporate tax rate, what was the corporate tax rate in the 50s? And it seems like we did real well in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, it was way, way, way above 25%. And in fact,
the upper tax bracket was 90%.
Well, and that's income, that's personal income tax. The
personal
top,
income, right.
Yeah. And in 1960, so it was 92% right after World War II. By 1962, it was still near 60% for the top 1%. It's now down around like 35.6-ish. That is according to Thomas Piketty. Emmanuel says Gabriel Zuckman, Data Appendix 2. There's a footnote. I'll put the chart in the show chat. John from Milwaukee, you got about 30 seconds, sir. Wanted to give you a shot at it. Go ahead.
I was just going to call quickly and say I agree with you earlier that the poor don't have the finances to pay, and that we should consider the first $60,000 tax-free. That could be for everybody. The first $60,000 is tax-free. Then after that, we raise the brackets up by 2% and charge everybody over $100,000 or thereabout some extra tax to make up for the people that aren't being taxed.
Yeah, John, I think this is, again, return to first principles. If you are barely making enough for a single person with no kids to get by, we're not going to tax that income until you start to make more of that. And frankly, I think we can put that surcharge premium on those that make more than $1 million, and then a higher premium on those that make more than $5 million. and we'd be just fine. We'd probably have better and more reliable revenue, right? Anywho, my great thanks to my special co-host and guest today, Tom Paulswitz. He'll be back next Thursday.
Always good to be here.
Love having you. When we come back, I got a very special guest. Her name is Hannah Fried. We're going to talk about voting patterns. Keep it locked right here on The Maggie Dawn Show. We got to raise our daughters knowing there's predators like him lurking. Rap battle,
he should die so all of these women can live with a purpose. I've been in this industry too. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.